to Final Fights. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man who learned to box by studying every move that John Travolta makes in Broken Arrow. It's Tom Trezimer.
See, I've done really well throughout my career, but it was that last fight. I fell apart. I fell apart, and I couldn't finish it.
Well, you know what?
Just like Travolta.
You know what happened is, man, you box people, and when you were boxing them, you gave away all of your tricks. So in the final fight, they just learn from you and then beat you up with your own tactics.
I guess that's my problem, is I'm such a teacher that when I'm beating the crap out of somebody, I am trying to give them a world lesson as well and teach them in how to better defend themselves. And then I myself am not adapting and learning. It's a bitter, bitter curse.
So you could beat people five times in a row, but then they beat you the sixth time. So you retired with an like a boxing record of like 50-10.
Pretty much. It's still a very good record, probably a Hall of Fame record, but it's not as good as what it should have been.
Yeah, so I think I told you this. I used to box. Like, I boxed for years. I used to train and do all this training. And when I was younger, you know, I thought that this Broken Arrow fight was probably the baddest thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, you're watching this brawl in 96. I was 14. I am watching Christian Slater do spin punches and high kicks, and they're hitting each other with crowbars. And those boxes, man, there's great box work in this fight. There's boxes getting shot, thrown, great box work. But watching this movie again, you know, you start in the beginning with the whole $20 bit that's a theme throughout the film. Their boxing is not good, Tom. Now, even in movie boxing terms, so I know it's a movie, I know there's choreography, I know you can't really box exceptionally well in a movie because that's not entertaining. Neither one of these guys, John Travolta, in no way attempted to learn how to throw a correct punch.
He's just throwing like haymakers.
Yeah.
Like, he is going for that killing blow every single time. And then in a turn, Christian Slater, as I like to call him, C Slates, he's throwing like these little jabs that he knows he can't just knock somebody out with. But that's all, it's pretty much all that he has. Mm-hmm. So he's throwing all these quick jabs. But again, like on his side, there isn't a ton of technique behind it.
It's but you know what, though? I kind of like this fight, though, because it's just a. It's just a good old American. I read this review for it, and they just called it a good old American punch fest. And that makes me happy, because this is, man, this is a good old American punch fest. And when I say that, I'm not saying, like, it's just two dudes whapping each other. I mean, you think about in other countries with their martial arts films, there's definitely punches, but there's also more, you know, to it than that. This is just a rock'em sock'em robot brawl.
You know, I think we read the exact same review over that, and that swayed my opinion on it. I grew up loving this as well, and then I watched it again a few years ago, and back then it really didn't age that well with me. And so then when we decided we wanted to do this, I started doing a little bit more research into it, and I found that review as well. And it does. It makes me appreciate this because it's not just full of martial arts. Like, this isn't Jet Li and Jackie Chan flying around everywhere, you know, countering every single punch and kick and throw that comes their way. It's two guys that they've obviously been in scraps before, but they aren't efficient fighters. Like, this is not what they do full time as a living. But it's like they know how to throw a punch at least. But I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, you're right. It is. It's just a straight up American bulldog fight.
And I like the story, though. You know, you have the opening boxing match. You have Travolta coaching him, kind of the mentor, and he beats up Slater. And so when this final fight happens, I mean, it's just so much hubris on the side of Deakins, on Vic Deakins against Riley Hale in this final fight. You know, he's talking like, you know, you're insane. Ain't it cool? And he has his little fists up. And then, you know, he's pressing his finger up against the guy's skull, and he's like, and, you know, it feels like this. You know, he's talking about concussions, and he's just sort of running, like, you know, bleeding is good. We'll see if we can make you bleed more. Like, he's just talking smack the entire fight.
He's literally, as Slater says, his mind has gone a walk off the map.
Yeah.
Like, he is literally going off the deep end before our very eyes, and Travolta's fully embracing it.
And I like that. All right, so I guess we should get to this final fight. So basically what happens is Travolta and his Deacon, Slater's Hale, they're on a flight. They crash this massive, like, $2 billion airplane that has a nuclear missile on it. John Travolta's going to sell it to the highest bidder because he makes no money in the military. He says some generals are idiots, so he just wants to make money. And then this movie is basically about John Travolta trying to take a nuke into Denver and sell it. And Christian Slater's Riley Hale and Terry Carmichael, played by Samantha Mathis, are trying to stop it. And it all comes to head on a train fight, a good old-fashioned train fight, which I'm always down for a train fight, from Rush with Love, any of those. And I think it features, though, one of my favorite kills. So Howie Long plays a guy named Kelly. He's a former football player, beast of a football player. You know, they didn't want him in the full movie, Tom, but they liked him so much they kept him around.
I think it must have been the scene where he's faking his death in the helicopter with the mic on.
Oh, yeah.
Radiation, sir.
But he's
yep, green stamp it. We're keeping him.
He's a big physical presence in this, though. I mean, he's just a big dude. I do love a scene, though, the scene where John Travolta tells Howie Long, he's like, find Hale, find Christian Slater. And Howie Long just kind of does like a little side look. I'm like, what? What are you doing? But I do think one of my favorite kills, and in 96, we thought this was the coolest thing, where before the final fight's about to start, C. Slate's on top of the train. He grabs onto a cable. He jumps through, and what does he yell? He yells something out.
Incoming.
Which he gives away his position. Howie Long turns around and gets kicked out of the train and off of a bridge. I mean, that's a cool practical. It looks practical. It looks like a dude is like legit falling. I mean, it's a good kill. You think so? You think Howie Long's death is good?
I think it's great, and I've actually noted that as well, because I think that's when this fight initially starts. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of action going on up until this point, but this is the exact moment that Christian Slater, or C. Slates, finally gets his rope-a-dope in there. You know, he dangles that body off one side of the car. They turn that direction and start shooting, and then he gets the world's heaviest, strongest XLR cable and goes swinging in there, Tarzan, and he does. He kicks Howie Long, and that's like the highest bridge in the world that he is falling off of at that time. It takes like 30 seconds for him to scream and yell before he lands in the riverbed.
And you know what I love too is, so this not only has the tallest bridge ever, but it also has the longest train car ever. Because at the end of the fight, when the train with the nuclear bomb smashes into another train, and what happens is this, there's a stop train, the train hits it. And when it hits it, the nuclear bomb is halfway, it's in the middle of this boxcar, and it flies toward and wipes out John Travolta and kills him. But the bomb takes 9 seconds to hit Travolta from starting flying. So, I mean, if you're doing the math, this thing's literally moving 2 feet per second. It's not, like, I just love it. Like, that, I don't know, did you notice that scene, too, of how long he's pissed?
I did, and what I really took away is, so, yeah, for the people that aren't quite following us, that the locomotive... Terry Carmichael, Samantha Mathis's character, disconnects the boxcar that Travolta and Slater are in fighting with the nuclear warhead, and the locomotive keeps going. Well, she inevitably kills the conductor of the locomotive, and
baller move.
His dead body slams into the brakes, which locks up the locomotive, you know, hundreds and hundreds of yards down the track. So then Travolta's car keeps going forward, and then it collides with it. But what I always found funny is he's already up against the wall. They slam into that thing. By the time the inertia carries that warhead towards him, he has enough time to stand back up and stare it down. Like, you get that awesome, awesome shot of him slowly standing back up and giving that, like, shit-eating smirk mm-hmm. that he gives Hale so many times in this movie. Like, that awful, dangerous snarl right before the bomb hits him and throws him through the other side of the wall into, you know, 35 barrels of petrol.
It makes me so happy. Just 9 seconds. He could have moved
it's
to the side.
It's so ridiculous.
Another thing
but
I noticed
it's so perfect.
Another thing I noticed about this movie is it hates helicopters, Tom.
It does not like helicopters. Helicopters, what, they went 0-2 in that movie?
Yeah, like, remember on the train car it blows up, Delor Lindo's blows up, and then the nuclear bomb sets the other one up.
Oh, yes. 0-3.
That thing blows up, right? No power is on in that helicopter, but it still manages to blow up before it hits the ground.
And what did Delroy Lindo do? I know we're missing on the fight here a little bit, but what... I mean, that guy got the shaft so hard.
Yeah,
he pulls the dice for Hale to take him back out, and he's like, I'll cover you. They get like one or two bullets in their helicopter, and then that pilot drives it straight into a mountain.
Oh,
I mean, I don't get it.
So, all right, so how about this? I'll drop, since you're right, we got a little bit away from the fight. This fight, it actually lasts 3 minutes and 25 seconds. So, and you want to guess how many strikes are thrown?
I counted Christian Slater's final salvo at the very end,
Oh,
but
that was
before
awesome.
that, I'm gonna go. Oh man, I'm gonna go 25 punches, 25
So,
punches, kicks.
punches, kicks, and throws, 50 total.
Okay, I was way off.
Yeah, I mean, but there's like three head bonks. Those boxes get worked. You know, they throw each other around. I just did kind of total strikes that you could point, score points for. Does that make sense? Like,
Yeah,
if you're,
that does.
if there's judges watching this fight and you chuck John Travolta into a box, a very easily shatterable box that blocked bullets earlier. Well, I guess the bullets maybe messed it up. And he explodes on it. You know, you're gonna give him a point. So I kind of was checking that out. And I mean, listen, Travolta, he had the early lead. I mean, he was doing, like, let's say there's rounds in this. Let's say there's five rounds. He had 10-8, 10-8, 10-8, 10-8. I mean, he's hitting him with crowbars. He's pressing his finger against his skull. He's taking him down. He's knocking him
He's
out.
getting reverse headlocks and throwing him.
Yes! Reverse as well. I love that. And but then, like you said, man, when C-Slate turns it on. I mean, kudos to what Alan Groff, he was like the stunt coordinator on this, and the fight coordinators, and John Woo, of course. John Woo knows how to make violence look excellent. But I gotta tell you, man, like when C-Slate turns it on, that's a badass combo. Do you wanna walk us through that final combo?
Well, it's crazy kind of building up to that really quick because, like, Christian Slater is like the manliest manly loser ever. It's like for whatever reason, he's been built up to be this total wuss that Travolta thinks that he always is. He can't win in a fight. Apparently, he's not a great co-pilot, even though he's piloting a B-2 bomber carrying nuclear warheads over the desert area.
Yeah.
So it's like this guy, like, there's no reason for anyone to truly believe that he is this big of a wuss. But yet Travolta's gotten so into his head, so screwed up in his dome, that he thinks that he can't beat him in a fight. But yet constantly throughout the movie, you see him just throttling everybody else that is not named Deacons.
I mean
So it's like they finally get to this fight. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say he's like his Baba Yaga. Like he's like
He's just
the
Baba Yaga.
you know what I mean? Like the what do you like the ancient deity you can't defeat. Does that make like he's his
It
kryptonite.
does. So there at the very end where Travolta's coming down with that crowbar, trying to do like the finishing move where he's trying to like take the tip of the crowbar and jam it in his neck, and then Hale like reverses it and he does some weird phantom kick punch to the gut or head that's kind of hard to tell what it is. And then he comes up with the crowbar in the right hand and he's getting ready to punch him, and he gets this sense that somehow Deacons is finally on the rope. Like Deacons is all bloodied up on the nose and the mouth. And you get this moment where they go, oh, this is it. This is the make or break time. And Slater does the most badass thing imaginable at that moment. Instead of hitting him with the crowbar, he says, F's it. He drops the crowbar and he just goes straight back into the fisticuffs.
Oh, I love it. And so he
And he
starts.
lands. Oh, I'm go ahead.
Oh, no, go for it. Yeah, break it down.
He lands, from what I counted, 18 consecutive punches and kicks before he sends Deacons into the wall.
That makes me so happy. And the final salvo, man, when he. So he does the punch, and then he does a high kick. He's like, how's that feel? Like, where did these high kicks come from? Right? And like, there's another final fight that you and I are going to talk about in The Last Boy Scout where there's a random kick, too. Like, I love random kicks in movies. Like, where do these kicks come from? He high kicks them. How's that feel? And then, dude, the spin punch. That's
Yeah,
badass.
the epic spin
Yep.
punch, and then he does like an elbow, and then like one of those swing up to the face. So it's like he elbows him in the gut, and then he swings his hand up to the face and knocks him in the nose.
Then kicks him
But
right in the gut.
that kick though,
The
it's like I
final
don't
kick.
no, not the final kick. The final kick is okay. And then there's also, so I think Hale lands three kicks. The first kick, he's on all fours, and he kicks up on his right foot, kicks up with the right leg, and he
Yeah.
kicks Travolta like out of the boxcar. Like that's a legit good kick, but that spin kick you're talking about, it's like Slater didn't even, it's like he didn't stretch before that kick.
Yeah, it's a very
It's like it's a very odd kick with his leg bent and he's swinging in an interesting direction, but I mean he gets the job done. At
It's
that
kind of
point, you got to do what you got to do.
there's no it's not a tradition. You know why I think it landed? Because let's think about a front kick. He basically throws a front spin kick. That makes no sense. But
Yes.
if you know how to defend against things, you're not gonna see that coming. Like that's
It's the
unorthodox.
rope-a-dope.
Yeah, so you're thinking, oh, if he throws like a side kick at me, a front kick, if he throws a spin kick, I can just lift my, you know, my arm up and block it. But this came like 6 o'clock. Like, so if you're standing straight, it comes right from underneath you. It's a really hard punch. It's like, it's a, I think it's a terrible kick, but I think that's why it lands. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so bad that it works, if that makes sense to you.
Hey, he had to do something. But during that final flurry of his 18 hits, dude, the music finally kicks in. Dun, dun, for most of that action scene, you know, there's not a lot of... There's the occasional, like, Travolta's twangy cowboy country theme to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially when he runs out of bullets during the gunfight preceding the fisticuffs. But, it's like, for the most part, it's just sound effects. Then suddenly, when he lands that first, like, elbow and punch, the music kicks back in at, like, 400 decibels. And it's like, you know, Slater's about to wrap this thing up. Like, he's got it going. He's finally grooving.
And I gotta say real quick, I love Hans Zimmer's score in this. That dun 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 dun, boom boom.
Oh yeah,
I love that. And also, Holger Gross, the guy who did the production design, his box work in this box car, excellent. Have you seen better box work in a box car?
No, I actually counted how many crates they destroyed. So during the actual shootout, so after Slater swings in, Tarzan's in and knocks Howie Long out, they get into like the machine pistol shotgun gunfight. And during that exchange, they either shoot, dive, or knock over and destroy 7 crates during that moment. And then during the actual fist fight, they destroy 4 more. Bodies going through them or them knocking them over onto each other.
Wow.
They destroyed 7 crates in that boxcar.
Wow. That's...
I mean, whoever packed that boxcar... he's probably going to be really angry.
Now, you've done some amazing work on our Rob Roy and Count of Monte Cristo episodes for these final fights, but that's my favorite stat you've ever dropped in the history of your time on movies, films, and final fights, or movies, films, and flicks, for that matter. The box count.
Thank you. I was pretty happy about that.
You were thinking outside the box on that one.
Oh, I see what you did there. Outside the broken box. No, when I was watching this again for like the third time last night, I think it first got to me when they start exchanging gunfire and Christian Slater jumps over 2 boxes as they explode underneath him as he's somehow firing a shotgun while flying through the air. And I was like, wait, how many did they destroy before that? And then I kept watching, and then his ragged body is getting chucked into like every box that's imaginable that's around there. And it's just shattering to splintered pieces. Like, they're doing some serious damage inside this boxcar.
And another
thing... then they destroy the boxcar.
Yeah, they do. They blow it up. And they have a dummy, too, that I kind of love. The John Travolta dummy that gets hit by the nuclear bomb.
If you freeze frame that, it looks... at least they kind of got the face right.
And it just makes me happy. But this whole fight... like, so even Chris C. Slate's... costume. Like, I love the strategic rips in his shirt in this. That was a really good... Dan Moore was the costume supervisor, and then Melissa Berry was assistant costume designer. I loved the strategic rip. I love strategic rips in shirts, like the rundown. You know what I'm talking... like, you know when there's... like, C. Slate had some good rips in his shirt. Very well dirtied.
He's got that nice rip over his left shoulder blade.
Oh, and also, when he... alright, so there's a scene before the final fight where he's getting dragged underneath a train. And his entire back half of his body would be jello, but I appreciate that they at least tore up his shoulder. Like, at least, you know what I mean? Like,
that's where he's got it, yeah.
And Travolta's kicking it earlier on.
He's kicking it during the fight, like, booting down on it.
And so at least someone who got dragged from a train finally got rubbled up, so that's kind of nice. Now, I do want to bring up one thing, too. I really love Samantha Mathis in this fight. I think... She holds her own. That's why she was cast. John Woo said he wanted her because she wasn't like a damsel in distress. There's a scene in this when Hale and Deacons are fighting and Samantha separates Hale and Deacons' boxcar with the nuclear bomb from the caboose. So she takes off on it. But when she separates the trains, she makes a jump onto the other train. And that stuntwoman's ribs are jello now. Like, that stuntwoman broke her ribs, correct?
Oh, that stuntwoman not only broke her ribs, but her knees.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was the same stunt double for all the scenes. All her falls are, like, hardcore knee first.
Oh.
Like, it is rough. She had a rough go on that movie.
When you watch, how many times have you watched... So, all right, this is random, but in Kickboxer, when he beats up those guys in the bar during the dancing scene, I felt like he murdered those guys. Like, I felt their pain. And I also felt the same, like, visceral rib crunching when poor Samantha Mass's stunt double just destroys her ribs. But yeah, I mean, what hurts more? What would you rather have to you, Tom? A fist fight against Deacons or Jell-O ribs and knees?
Probably Jell-O ribs and knees. Because I don't think I want to be that close to a nuclear warhead. I think any time that you're fighting with Deacons, there's going to be the possibility that you're going to get run over by a Humvee or blown up by a helicopter.
Yeah.
Or buried in a coal mine.
Yeah. So it's better to have Jell-O ribs?
I think I'd rather have Jell-O ribs.
No, but
I would.
So
Deacon's a dude I don't want to mess with. He's unhinged.
Yeah, he's crazy. What grade would you give this final fight?
Now, I think
96. On the 96 level, what do you think?
Well, I think I'd give it a good solid B+. Like, there is a lot going on with it. It's not perfect. Like, I even put kind of a note in here that I don't know if it would stand to make, like, the top 10 lists of MFF final fights in the very end. But the fact that there is so much going on, how crazy this movie is, and everything that's taking place outside of this boxcar is just otherworldly. Like, it doesn't make sense what is happening. But what's actually going on in the boxcar between these two guys is probably the most grounded part of the entire movie.
Well, hands down. It's just a good old slugfest.
It's just a good slugfest. Yeah, I enjoy it.
All right, so if it wasn't for the spin punch and Travolta talking smack, and I liked before the fight started breaking out when he put the gun on his forehead for some reason just to look cool because it's a John Woo movie and you need cool gun action.
Yeah.
And then the quick pans on the detonator, and they actually set the timer off by accident, which is insane. But no, I think, all right, you know what? I would give this a B+ as well. What do you think would make this fight better? Before we get out of here, what's one thing you would recommend this fight that would give it an A? What could push this fight over?
Take out that Slater kick.
Take out the Slater.
I think it's that forward swinging Slater kick. I think I would have rather seen another punch or an elbow. It's just that kick right there. Just it gets me every time.
You know what it is? The perfect final fight. Like, you know how many weird questions I have during movies? When you're watching a final fight, you shouldn't have those questions. You should just roll with it. You shouldn't be taken out. So that kick takes you out. For me, I would keep the kick because I think it's funny. But I would have Troll to actually use some head movement because his punches are very, like, it's not boxing. Like, it's not, I don't even think he's trying in this.
No, he's just very stationary with it.
Yeah, well, it's just head movement. Like, he just keeps his head in one spot and it never moves. Like, at least kind of have him do, like, talking about Ali, right? But he never does any head movement. There's no head movement in this. That's why Slater's able to land all those jabs. So if he kind of, you know, weaved and ducked and weaved a little bit and worked a couple good punches and didn't bop so much, I would give this fight an A.
So here's a question. Travolta previously had always been like a really kind of tall, gangly guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not tall, but gangly and skinny. And then sometime there during the early mid-90s, he started bulking out. You could kind of start seeing it there in Pulp Fiction a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you think then he just got too ripped? His neck muscles got too big. He couldn't move it.
I mean,
by the time by the time Broken Arrow came into play, I mean, he's a big dude. He is really filled out.
But he's a dancer, though. Like, he can still dance. Like, he went and did Hairspray after this. So, even if he's bulky, he could move his hip, like, knees and, you know, he could do this with his head a little bit. Like, he can dance. 2 years prior, he was out in Pulp Fiction busting out great moves. And in Face Off, dude, he's, like, all over the place. Like, he's moving a lot in that movie.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, I don't know. Listen, he's in it. He fights. He's fun. He went over the top on purpose, but I just a little movement. But I hate being picky here because this was a delight of a fight, man. When I growing up, my brother and I talked about this all the time. So I'm happy it exists and I love talking about it. I just want a little more head movement.
I just want to throw one scenario at you really quick. Mm-hmm. So when C. Slater, they finally run out of bullets. Travolta runs out of bullets. Hale has what you assume to have one more round in the shotgun. And so they're squaring off in the boxcar and he's like, and Deacons is like, don't shoot me, I've got the detonator. See, I push this button, it deactivates. I push this button, and it activates. What's just to stop Slater of just shooting him in the face with the shotgun and going over and picking up the remote?
That's an amazing question. That, wow.
I was watching that last night, and I'm like, he is 5 feet away. There's no way Travolta would be able to have the reaction time to press any of the buttons. So yeah. The only thing I could think of was C-Slate's just wanted to finally have his go at him.
It had to have been, because even when
He knew his time was coming.
Yep.
He was bound to win something, and this was it. But man, what a gamble.
And it paid off, and it led with him doing a flying boop-boop to the nuclear missile.
Oh, I love that.
And he waited.
Slater spends more time flying through the air than he actually does, like, running around in this game, in this movie.
He looks at the detonator, and instead of just pressing it right then and there, he waits 2 seconds, jumps out of the thing, and then presses it.
Jumps, rotates, spins back in, because I'm sure it's an IR signal. It's got a direct line of sight. Rotates in midair and presses it. And so cool.
He lands terribly, too. If you jump
he should have broken both his collarbones for sure.
There's a lot of jello ribs going around.
But he got his $20 back.
Yeah, he did.
Then he dropped for Terry Carmichael for some reason.
Yeah,
I assume
they
were about to make out.
Yeah. Dude, Terry's cool, man. I like her in this movie.
She's a badass.
She takes out that train conductor, the train conductor easily. Dude has an automatic gun. She just plugs him from 70 feet away.
Yeah, with her pistol.
Badass.
That's a heck of a shot.
All right, well, this was fun, man. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
All right, so for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for Tom Schreisemer, this is Final Fights. We'll see you next week.